Proverbs chapter 4. This is God's word. Hear, O sons, of father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like a deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Let's pray. Teach us, Father, we pray. Take these proverbs and instruct us that we might be people after your heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think about the people in your life who have been the most influential. People who have been particularly positive for you in your walk with the Lord, who've helped you. Think back on the precepts, the things that you've been taught, the things that you remember, and those who really had a significant influence on your life. Notice how Solomon begins chapter 4. And you can notice that you've really got three sections, verses 1 to 9, 10 to 19, and 20 to 27. And they're set off by hear, O sons, hear my son. The word hear, to listen, which is like Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. I think it's intentional. We're called to hear, to listen, to pay attention. But notice how he begins. Hear, O sons, of father's instruction. And he gives us this aspect of when he was young, the only son of his mother, that his father instructed him. We're not really sure what it would have been like for David, king, to be a dad. It seems to me often kings were removed from their children, and some kings had lots of children and were probably pretty far removed, which would include Solomon. And so maybe here he is coming back to try to be a dad. David was a man after God's own heart. Maybe he realized with some of his earlier sons his failure. Maybe he knew when Solomon was young. And remember, the Lord called him Jedidiah, loved by the Lord. Maybe David realized he will be king one day. I need to be particularly careful with him. We don't really know for sure. That's what Derek Kidner says of these first verses. And notice how he brings this idea, because we've got, "Hear, O sons of fathers, instruction." And then verse 3, "When I was a son with my father." So he brings in multiple generations. Again, here, Derek Kidner. "This linking of three generations," verses 1 and 3, "demonstrates how a love of the best things will be transmitted mainly by personal influence." Scripture is critical, but how we communicate it is also critical. The ways that we're able to minister to those around us. Along the channels of affection, the approach is positive. The teacher is far less interested in don'ts, though they have their place, chapter 3, verse 27 to 31, than in getting his pupil to see that he has offered the secret of being really alive, 4b, and therefore to cooperate by cultivating his own love, verse 6, of the wisdom which is that secret. The heart here of Solomon desiring his sons, to walk after the Lord. Now, there may be an aspect here also where Solomon's addressing the covenant community, all the sons of Israel. And that would be an appropriate thing to be able to do, especially as we think about Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel." Listen to what Charles Bridges says. "This is not the style of a cold pleader, enforcing with decent seriousness some unimportant truth. It is the father, feeling that his child's soul is perishing unless it be taught and led in wisdom's ways. Parents, do we know this stirring concern, anxiously looking out for the first dawn of light upon our own child's soul? Do we eagerly point out to him wisdom as the principal thing to be gotten first?" Matthew 6:33. Is it our own first choice, infinitely above this world's glitter? Not only important, but all important. It can have no place if it has not first place. Really good reminder for us to take wisdom seriously. And as we think about this, we want to think in terms that here the Lord, through Solomon, is addressing God's covenant community. People who on some level have either put their faith in Christ or who are being brought up in the faith, and that our hope and prayer is that they will come to a saving knowledge of Christ.
And I want us to think of wisdom as spiritual growth. So as you think of wisdom as some abstract thing, to get wisdom just to get smarter or to get wise, I want us to think of wisdom as spiritual growth, growing in grace, knowing the Lord, knowing His Word, knowing His truth better. And as we think of it that way, that's something that all of us want and need. And I think this chapter really addresses that. Look first at verses 1 to 9. I think what the Lord through Solomon is saying is make the pursuit of spiritual growth your primary goal in life. We often think about the things that we want. We think about love, we think about career, we think about houses, we think about neighborhoods, we think about all kinds of things about what we're really looking for, stuff. But above all of it, really should be that desire for spiritual growth. And think for us as we instill this in the kids that we teach at church, in kids' lives, in grandkids' lives, that we are never done ministering to other people. So we should never really be done growing ourselves spiritually. Think about the first six verses here. It's a call to seek wisdom or to seek spiritual growth. This is what here Solomon is really doing, a call to pursue spiritual growth. And then look at verse 7 in particular. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Again, from Derek Kidner. The first line literally means either the beginning is wisdom, get wisdom, or the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. The latter, which is grammatically the more probable, could be a blunt way of saying whatever it takes is not brains or opportunity, but decision. Do you want it? Do you want wisdom? Come and get it. The second line, in tune with this and the Gospels, runs, and with or at the cost of all that you possess. And Moffat says, at any cost. The second way is a better way of translating it, really. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. It's an imperative, it's a command. Seek it, seek after it, desire it, and know insight. Verse 6, do not forsake her, she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. This should be our desire, our passion, is to grow spiritually. Verses 8 and 9, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So the question is, where is our heart? What do we really want? We can't take spiritual growth for granted. We can't assume that it's just going to happen magically. Spiritual growth is a lifelong goal. As long as we are alive, as we grow older, we want to grow spiritually. We study. We pray. We pursue the knowledge of God. We get to know Him better as we grow in Him. We see Him work. We watch Him answer prayer. We learn. We learn about our Heavenly Father. We learn about His love as He has manifested it to us in Christ. We see Him work. things we struggle with, people we pray for. We don't always see answers, but we see God's grace. We grow to know Him better. If we're not growing in our knowledge of Him, if we're not moving forward, we're moving backward. And so we always want to be growing and seeking Him. Notice how the psalmist goes on, verses 10 to 19. Really, I would suggest to you is do not grow weary in the pursuit of righteousness. That's really what he says here. Look at verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Verses 10 to 13. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. She's not an add-on. She is your life. So the first verses, 10 to 13 here, really give us that idea of the pursuit of wisdom. Don't grow weary in seeking God, in seeking a knowledge of the living God. Verses 14 to 17 and verse 19, in a sense, give us that picture of the temptation to seek selfishness, to seek another way. Psalm 1 gives us that idea, the way of the wicked is not as the way of the righteous. It's a warning. Charles Bridges points out, don't go down her path. Don't step on her path. Don't even think about her path. And there are times in our lives where we're tempted. There are times that we see other people tempted to go down the path of the unrighteous. Don't enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Did you notice verse 16? For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. It is an insatiable desire. It's a downward spiral. That destroys people. And then verses 18 and 19, you've got that sharp contrast. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. We see that, don't we? In people who don't know the Lord, we see a lostness, a brokenness, a darkness. But for us, we have the gift of God's Spirit at work in our lives, the gift to know that Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin, and that as we grow, we see more and more His mercy and His blessing, the ways that He's at work in our lives. And so the last warning, really, in this chapter, verses 20 to 27, is guard your heart and do not allow it to grow critical. Verses 20 to 23 really is a call to guard our hearts. Verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. In Hebrew, the concept of the heart is the inner man. We often think in more Western ways of the heart, mind, will, emotions, and we divide them up. We think of them as being different. The heart, in Hebrew, is a whole. It is the inner person. It includes the mind, the will, and the emotions. It is the whole of the inner person. And so guard the inner person. Guard your life from it flow the springs of life. But then notice a little shift here at the end in verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. We might look in some ways of the first 23 verses of this chapter as calling us to seek after wisdom, to pursue it. We'll get a lot of that in the book of Proverbs. But we also get these kinds of things. I would suggest to you that the warning here is something that mature Christians have to be particularly careful of. A critical heart. It's very easy for us to look down on other people, to speak about other people. Sometimes to malign other people because they don't fit our agenda. He calls us back for our eyes to look straight forward. And it seems to me here that there is a call for us to be on guard. One of the things that mature Christians always have to be careful about is that sense of superiority, that sense of having everything all together. And what God's grace does, we become proud of being recipients of God's grace. That's wrong, right? But we can easily fall into that pattern. Be careful of how you think, of how you talk, of having a critical heart, of falling away. So here I think the Lord through Solomon speaks to us as the covenant community, people whose faith is in the living God, to say the pursuit of spiritual growth is something we should always pursue after. We want to seek it diligently, to see it as a light that shines brighter and brighter, and for us, for that to be a part of who we are, and for us to be careful that as we do, that we keep our hearts with all vigilance, knowing that out of our heart flows that spring of life by the grace and mercy of God. So we're careful to how we speak and how we look and where we walk and what we do, to not presume upon God's grace, but to live for Him, knowing that He's the one who's rescued us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We all desire to grow spiritually. And so we ask that you would work in our hearts. We pray that you would work in such a powerful way that you'll give us grace to keep our hearts with all vigilance and never forget that by the work of your Spirit in our hearts, out of our hearts flow springs of living water
because you have taken us from death to life. Give us grace, Father, we pray, to reflect this great salvation to all whom we meet, that they might see in us Christ, the hope of glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.